Welcome to Sounding Off with Kim Munson, our podcast. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. That is where you get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. I'm thrilled today to have the guest for this podcast, Bill McCaleb, and he is a candidate for
House District 6.
I knew that. House District 6, right here in Colorado. And Bill McCaleb, welcome to the podcast.
So thanks, Kim. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
These are some of the most important races in our country right now. And this is a very, very important election as well. I think it is important, Bill McCaleb, that people understand that this Democrat Party is not the party of JFK. JFK was interested in lowering taxes, a more limited government. This Democrat Party, as we can see, is taking more and more control of our lives. So why did you step up and throw your hat in the ring?
Well, essentially for those exact same reasons, to be honest. I think that the Republican Party's message is more like JFK than it is about what it actually is demonstrating right now. And so for me, it's about reasonable and balance, right? And I think the Colorado legislature certainly needs that.
You and think?
I think I'm just the one to be able to provide some of that balance, some of that leadership.
Well, and we need to move towards reasonable as well. There were many things that occurred this last legislative session that were not reasonable. And I think that everyday hardworking people have kind of trusted that the people that they have elected have their best interest in mind, meaning everyday hardworking people. But the veil is off. That is not the case anymore. And so it is important to get this back into balance.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that are on the Democrats' agenda that they're going to pass, and because they have a majority in the legislature here in Colorado, that they're able to push them through. And so even when the voters have something to say with respect to a ballot issue, it's wrong for the legislature to go the opposite way.
Right. And so what you're talking about is back in 2018, there was a ballot initiative that was on the ballot regarding really, really restricting affordable, reliable, and efficient energy is ultimately what happened with that. And the voters said, we want reliable, efficient, and affordable energy. And they spoke. And then 4 months, maybe not even 4 months later, but a very short period of time, the legislature passed something that would make energy more expensive and less reliable. And the governor signed that in. And so kind of this disregard for the people was astonishing to me, Bill McCaleb.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. If you look at the whole idea of what energy happens to cost you, and most people see that as let's just call it the utility business, so electric power, for example. Electric power is about 80-85% generated in this state anyway by fossil fuels. And so that leaves you with, you know, the potential of 15 to 25% of every megawatt of electric power that's generated and ultimately delivered through your utility company coming to you as renewables. And while that's admirable, at the end of the day, if we turned off fossil fuels tomorrow, the lights tonight will actually go out. And so people need to understand that renewable energy, where it stands right now, is not sustainable on a 24-hour round-the-clock sort of basis.
Well, Bill McCaleb, we are having real experiences with this. California is having rolling blackouts right now. And you think about this. Is that with rolling blackouts, I heard someone on one of the news shows, it was just an everyday person whose son had medication that he needed to stay alive, and that medication needed to be refrigerated. And this gentleman said that normally he was notified when there might be a rolling blackout. This time around, he had no knowledge that this was going to happen, therefore he couldn't plan ahead, which is putting his son's life at risk. I don't think that people really understand that if we don't have reliable, affordable, and efficient energy, that it really hurts the vulnerable.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And at the end of the day, in my background, at one point I actually served as the technical and policy advisor to a public utilities commission, and this was down on the Gulf Coast. But at the end of the day, we were constantly concerned about a priority list of human needs customers that needed to be taken care of, and that we could identify those before a rolling blackout or before an emergency really happened. So we know where those people are and how to be able to take care of them. And it just seems like that's kind of fallen apart. And I think if you look at California, in particular the PG&E kind of service territory, they've had many, many problems, as it turns out, in the past. Some of them have been disregard for the maintenance and the resilience of the system. But at the end of the day, it's those things where you have to understand where the human needs customers happen to reside and try and take care of those.
Well, and my understanding is that PG&E were in some ways constricted by updating some of these, different transmitters and things, because they were being forced by government to push towards renewables. And so policy, ultimately, there are unintended consequences that occur with that bill.
Well, I think always there are unintended consequences. We talk about a number of different issues and areas mm-hmm. where that's happened. But at the end of the day, sometimes there are special interests that exist kind of everywhere. And when you push a particular issue and you get it passed, Part of getting it done, part of the administrative piece, part of the regulatory piece, is to look for those unintended consequences, and sometimes they don't do it. And while we should be talking about Colorado as opposed to California, at the end of the day, California is kind of a poster child and has been over the years for trying a number of different areas energy and energy providing of energy services to their constituents.
Well, we have been talking about California, but a number of the legislators down at the State House are California wannabes. And I think as we look at California, I think Coloradans all of a sudden are like, wait a minute, I'm not sure that I really like what's going on. And we need to have clear choices when we go to vote this November. And so, Bill McCaleb, you are offering a clear choice. So, first of all, tell us a little bit more about you.
So about me, I'm not a career politician by a long shot.
Yay!
I spent a 40-year kind of executive career, and my background is what it is. I came out of the energy business, but it included not only oil, gas, and chemicals, but also electric power, and have worked in the areas of I just mentioned utility regulation and that sort of thing in the past. And so I understand have kind of a unique, I think, ability to understand the entire energy complex. So that's a big part of it. I'm an engineer, not once, not twice, but also an MBA as well. And so I understand the business, number one. I understand fiscal and fiscal policy issues, number two. But more than anything, over the last 20 years of my career, I spent as an executive in management consulting practices and that sort of thing. That went specific to energy and energy related types of companies and issues.
It seems to me, Bill McCaleb, that being a management consultant, particularly in this industry, that would suit you very well to go down to the State House and work and listen to people and bring people together on things that they can agree on.
Well, I think that's right. And my campaign actually, has got a piece in it that is called ITT. And everybody's, what does it mean? And the bottom line is it's innovation, trust, and teamwork. And that's sort of three things that have served me very well in the business community, certainly served me very well with respect to the management consulting arena. But the innovation, being able to see solutions that sometimes other people don't see. And then the trust part, be able to work with a number of different people, even have different perspectives, but at least they understand that I'm to be trusted. I do what I say I'm going to do. You might not like it, you might not agree, but at the end of the day, I do what I say I'm going to do. And then finally, the teamwork, being able to assemble groups of people with even different perspectives and different mm-hmm. views and even agendas and goals that don't match. And at the end of the day, be able to solve some problems.
And it's so interesting. Now, do you have two different websites? You have BillBringsIt.com, correct? And when I first saw that, I'm like, this must be incorrect because there's two T's instead of one, but it's because of the innovation, trust, and teamwork. And then also, don't you have another one as well?
Well, they actually did the same one. It's called Preserving Colorado. And so what we did was we said, let's the foundation of why I'm running is to preserve the Colorado way of life. Mm-hmm. Because when I came here 20 years ago, things were a bit different in terms of the legislature and that sort of thing. We love Colorado and the way of life here.
That
and
rugged individualism, yeah, which built Colorado.
Exactly, you know? Without a doubt. And so we wanted to make sure that that was a message out there. And so, but at the same time, we recognize that ITT is the kind of the foundation of kind of what mm-hmm. what makes me different, what I'm bringing kind of to the mm-hmm. table. And so we've actually, both of those websites actually go to the same
site. Do they? Okay. Okay, so that explains it. So, Bill, and so it's BillBringsIt.com or PreservingColorado.com.
Correct. Okay. Correct. And even if you misspell it at some point, it'll take you to the same place.
Let's go through this just a little bit then, Bill McCaleb. Innovation. Innovation solves problems. And I think that there are elected representatives. I'm no longer am calling them elected officials. They're elected representatives. They're supposed to represent us, the people, and come up with innovative ideas to solve problems instead of this heavy hand of force that we've seen this legislature exhibit. And we need to make some changes down there, and you're stepping forward to do that. But talk a little bit more about innovation.
So innovation is really the ability to take a look at an issue. Think of it in terms of maybe a balloon bouquet where you have a bunch of balloons and you're holding them. And if you can talk with folks and say, hey, look, there's a piece of this issue that will represented by one of the balloons. And I can take that one off because we can agree what the solution is mm-hmm. there. And we can come to consensus. And if you do that enough times, then you end up with a much smaller balloon bouquet and a much smaller, as it turns out, a resulting ability to or a resulting problem to solve. And that makes the ability to solve that and be able to find a solution. It's likely not going to be completely 100% perfect for everyone, but at the end of the day, it's a solution that everybody can kind of live with and move forward. And so that's kind of the innovation sort of part of it, that I can see those sorts of solutions. I can parse away some of the issues that are kind of extraneous and be able to solve a problem going forward.
Well, and I really think that that's what everyday hardworking people want, is for people to be down at the legislature solving problems and ideally, hopefully, bringing government, kind of reining it in so that everyday people have more control over their own lives instead of this heavy hand of government that we've seen.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, with me, you're going to get absolute commitment, but you're also going to get reliability. You know, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm certainly going to do it. And it doesn't mean that I don't listen to anybody else's ideas. No one's got the market cornered on great ideas. And so regardless of which side of an issue you happen to be on, it's worth understanding what those issues are. And you know what? Sometimes I have to go to the other side and say, hey, look, that's a better way maybe of looking at it, and we can solve our problem that way.
Well, and that made me, I made a note as you were talking here regarding your time and experience as a management consultant. That requires listening. And I think to be a good representative, you need to listen to people. And then the other thing you mentioned is trust. I remember that there was a school board member who, she and I were probably on the opposite spectrum of the issues. However, she was always honest with me. I knew that I could trust her. And even though we looked at things totally differently, the fact that I could trust her, I respected her for that.
Yeah, and you know, I've got some friends just like that as well. A friend of mine who I'd worked with for many years is an attorney, runs a big energy practice at one of the big law firms in Washington, D.C., and he and I have tremendous respect for one another. We respect each other's thoughts, and for the same reason, I think we both said to each other, you know, neither of us have got the market cornered on great ideas. And so, you know, being able to understand the other side, I think, is hugely important.
Mm-hmm. And then teamwork. being, you know, looking across the aisle, you know, we need to get back to where we're working together to achieve our goals.
Yeah. So being a management consultant in particular requires that you be able to look at a group of people, even if they have divergent goals, agendas, perspectives, and be able to say, hey, look, you know, trust each other, and then let's honestly look at a problem and see if we can't solve it. And so being able to assemble great teams is something that I've kind of learned over a very long career, and I guess for me it's been exciting running in this race. I have a whole lot of folks who have worked with me on teams in the past in business. They don't live here in Colorado, but they even sign into the Facebook page and say, "Geez, if I lived in Colorado, you know, you'd have my support." And of course, that's really great to hear.
How about send some money?
Yeah, but exactly. How about that? But at the end of the day, I think when you look at those sorts of folks and the folks even here in Colorado that I've met, it's wonderful to be able to say, "You're my friend. I trust you." And we might not see eye to eye on many things, but at least we can have a fair, honest, and not an exciting sort of discussion.
Well, and I've been down to the State House many times over the last couple of years, and I've been astounded, just absolutely astounded at what I would call lack of transparency. And lack of transparency is another way of saying not trustworthy. And so we need to get back to that where we, and you know, America was founded on citizens stepping forward and taking their time to represent people. So when did you decide to declare, Bill McNair?
so it's easy to sit on the sidelines and gripe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was pretty good at that leading up.
A lot
up
of people
to
practicing,
yeah, right.
That, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I guess it was maybe right after the first of the year, and I was saying something to actually a Republican in our current legislature. And he looked at me and goes, "Well, it sounds like you might want to be running." And it's like, "No, I don't really think so." And within a week, I had decided, "Oh, you know, maybe so." The seat that I'm running for actually has been uncontested in the last two cycles by the Republicans, and I'm certainly interested in not allowing an uncontested seat to go, and so that in and of itself represented a pretty large piece, because mm-hmm. I wasn't planning on being a politician. I'm certainly not a career politician, but at the end of the day, we've got to have some competition, because I think the balance part comes from having the perspectives of both sides.
You would never have dreamed at the beginning of the year when you decided to do this and you had issues that were on your heart that we would go through this unprecedented COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. So the issues that you thought were important still are, but things have changed a bit. So what would you say are the issues that are important to you?
Yeah, you know, so you know, it's still important. The fiscal issues and fiscal policy and living within your means. We do it as people. We have to do it in our personal lives. It's no different than what the government and the state of Colorado should be doing as well. Number one. Number two, the environmental stuff. I've already talked a little bit about it, but at the end of the day, it's not a radical departure one way or the other.
We are called as people to be good stewards of our earth.
Oh,
I think we agree on that.
Yeah, of course. And you know, and I've been, you know, in an industry that everyone thinks is go out of their way to violate rules, regulations, and that sort of thing with respect to keeping our environment clean and pristine. And having been there, I can't tell you. I've never met an oil and gas related executive that is really interested in going out of their way in ruining the environment. And even if they don't feel that much strongly about the environment, it's the cost of messing it up and cleaning it up that really is a true deterrent. So I just never met anybody who cares that much about upsetting the environment, honestly.
It's a false narrative that has been pushed forward. Certainly, I mean, there will be changes to the environment as we have more and more human
sure.
beings. But I've always thought it was interesting when they're talking about methane or things like that. I'm like, don't you think that back when the dinosaurs were roaming the earth, that there was some big methane happening at that particular point in time as well? So
yeah, that's right. So I'm interested in environmental policy that accepts energy, technology, and innovation as it becomes truly economic, and it should be part of an overall plan. So if you think about the plan as kind of a living document, you can argue that every incremental innovation and improvement in energy and energy production is helpful. That's included in the plan, and the plan gets better over time. But this whole idea of making radical changes, stop oil and gas production, for example, tomorrow, stop mining coal tomorrow, right? And take it out of the ability to generate electric power, for example. We're just not there. I mean, technology just is not there right now to be able to do that.
Well, and it is not doable. And I want to talk a little bit more about this particular issue because, as many of you know, once a month I have our health and hydrocarbons show, which I've learned so much about that. And affordable hydrocarbons actually makes people's lives better. There are women in third world countries that their days consist of going to get water and going to find fuel and then cooking over a fire, which is not good for the environment. It's not good for their health, where they would love to have affordable, reliable, and efficient energy. Bill McCaleb.
Yeah. So that is part of it, right? I mean, the affordability part, it's about keeping the environment clean. But, you know, energy and innovation, energy technology and innovation improvements, right, are not limited to just renewable energy. Hey, we figured out how to improve on the emissions resulting from carbon fuels in the past. The API, the American Petroleum Institute, has certainly done a whole lot of that sort of thing. And so, you know, those innovations also should be included, right? Clean coal, right?
Absolutely.
Those technologies should be included. And, you know, everybody's constantly working on making it better and making it more efficient. And the more efficient actually helps us, right, for a number of different reasons, right? Not the least of which is the preservation of a pristine environment.
And it really helps hardworking everyday people. They'll have more money in their pocket if they are not having to pay more and more for energy because of policy.
So it's very interesting. If you look at your utility provider, and it all depends on who your utility provider happens to be here in the Denver Metro. But at the end of the day, you can actually buy green energy, and the green energy is basically says, well, you're buying the marginal cost of renewable energy production. You're paying more. But the electrons don't know the difference, but whether they're green or not. And so at the end of the day, yes, that's wonderful that you feel that way, and I want to support renewable energy, and that's wonderful. But there are people who can't do that. There are people who can't afford that. There are people who live on fixed incomes. And so you have to at least remember, hey, running the price of electric power and energy up is not helpful to everybody. So that's why I'm simply saying once we have technologies that are economic, we should include them in our plan. We should include them in the environmental plan going forward, right?
Well, very important. And there's all these different things that squeeze everyday people's pocketbooks. And it could be policy that's making energy more expensive. It could be taxes and fees.
Well, you touched on something. It's funny. I wanted to go back in a second and say, you know, really what the most important issue happened to be. I kind of bypassed that, and I will go back. But taking care of these of the fees and that sort of thing. You know, I'm all about lower taxes. I'm all about smaller government. We shouldn't be exploding the size of government. And you sort of see some of that with respect to even the education, the K through 12 education, where the State Board of Education seems to be growing, but it growing with respect to administrative as opposed to delivering the real resources completely all the way down to the classrooms.
To the classroom.
You know, if you look, you know, there's so many teachers that I've already spoken with that tell me something that I think we all sort of know is that they have to go in their own pocket and provide educational resources to their kids in their classrooms. And you know, we can argue all day long about teachers and how much they're paid and that sort of thing. It, regardless, that is an expense that we should be bearing, not necessarily exclusive to the teachers themselves.
So if you shrink the administrative state in education, that would mean that we could get more money to these teachers and the classroom, which I think that's where most people really
sure.
want to do that.
Sure.
So
absolutely. Let me step back for a second, Kim, and say, you know, while I came up with some of those issues way before COVID ever started. Now that COVID's there, certainly health and safety and security. And you could roll those into not only the COVID piece, right, that seems to be bouncing around all over the place. And it's very interesting. I think on even a national basis, we don't really understand all that well, you know, what is the ramifications of COVID? You know, how do you kind of get it? Do masks really work? All that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think in my world, it's interesting. I would count myself as knowing a fair amount of people. I know maybe one or two people who have had COVID. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. And when you talk to some of the folks who work in the hospitals, maybe the hospitals aren't quite as busy as you would expect.
I've heard that as well.
In the news media, so that's something we got to get our hands around for sure, right?
And you talked about trust. We need to get to a point where we can trust what
that's
we're
right.
being told.
That's exactly right. And I'm not sure because the messages that we've been getting have been bouncing all over the place, and we need to learn a bit more. I'm not sure I would lump all of those problems on one person's or one group's shoulders. But at the end of the day, we do need to understand better what is and isn't an issue with respect to COVID, and kind of then make policy going forward. But more than that, right, is that now we've also had the constitutional right to protest. And while I absolutely support that, I truly support the peaceful part mm-hmm. of that. When it degenerates into riots, and it degenerates into looting, and it degenerates into arson, and worse, as we saw a couple of weeks ago in Portland, Oregon, the whole idea of locking in police officers into their precinct and then trying to burn the building mm-hmm. down. That's not peaceful protesting any way you slice it.
You know, and that happened right here in Denver, as far as it was, I think, the precinct number one out in Aurora. Same thing. They chained the doors with our police officers in there, and they didn't try to burn it at that time. But then afterwards, staged around there were actually gas cans. So this is not okay. I think that people that weren't paying attention to politics, I can't tell you how many people, Bill McCaleb, before all this, they would say, oh, I'm not into politics. You know, we were kind of fat and happy. Unemployment, we were at about full employment. I mean, things were going along really well. And people, I don't think, were paying attention to what was happening down at the State House. Now people are like, wait a minute, politics is into me. They can use policy, executive orders, a variety of things to shut down my business. I think people are paying attention. I think you have a unique opportunity.
Well, thank you, I hope that's the case. I mean, truly, it really is about bringing balance to
and
to,
reasonableness,
to right? Exactly, and you know, and integrity, and all those sorts of words that I mean, I really am all about them, right? And, you know, if you kind of look at me, I think what I bring is, you know, the transparency. I kind of say what I think, and sometimes I put my foot in my mouth from time to time. But at the end of the day, that is who I am. My background is what it is, but it is business related, and it is being able to help and solve problems, but also being approachable as well, and that's also important.
That's a good one, because I was down at the State House. I was surprised at the way some of these legislators treated everyday people. So, Bill McCaleb, I'm really excited about this. Have we covered everything that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I think so. I have to tell you, I'm just so excited to be able to get out. And, you know, we talked before we went on the air about how much, you know, kind of walking knocking on doors.
It is
and,
work.
It's really been fun to meet people. It's really been fun to talk about the issues. You know, not always exactly the way I happen to see things. But you know what? Once again, I need to be open. I need to be understanding. And because none of us have got the market corner on great ideas.
Well, and listen and learn. You know, listen
yeah,
and learn
exactly.
To hear what people have to say. So I know that you could use help during walking. I think people, there's like, what can I do? So how could people help you?
So it's really great. If you go on the website, there's an opportunity for volunteers. And if you click on that, we'll be in touch with you very quickly. We walk every weekend, and so my feet are a little sore, but
yeah.
But at the end of the day, we're walking every weekend. We've covered about a quarter of every precinct in HD6, in the House District 6.
Okay. So this is Bill McCaleb that I'm talking with, and he is a candidate for House District 6 right here in Colorado. And you can go to either of these websites. It'll get you to the same place. And that is Bill Brings It. That's with two T's .com. And the reason it's ITT is because Bill believes in innovation, trust, and teamwork. Or the other is preservingcolorado.com. And I, like you, I came to Colorado because of that rugged individual spirit that built Colorado. And we're seeing that is being taken away from us. And I think people are like, wait a minute. And I so appreciate you stepping forward, Bill McCaleb. What's your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Yeah. So the final thought is it's that I really am about smaller government. I really am about lower taxes. I really am about moving the legislature back to where it was when I showed up here 20 years ago.
And smaller government, lower taxes means bigger individual,
yeah,
bigger opportunity.
Absolutely does.
So, Bill McCaleb, thank you so much for joining Sounding Off with Kim Munson. My friends, God bless you, and God bless America.